Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Pastor David here with Athena, one of our teachers from Spirit School of Ministry, and Ashley Ball is joining us today. And Ashley is a very smart person. She has gone through our school. She is our lodge manager, I believe is the title. We have a Christian retreat center at our church, which you should check it out if you need to retreat, you need to rest. And Ashley will be the one that you talk to. But yeah, we're just glad that you're able to join us. So thanks for coming on. And no pressure, but we're expecting greatness. We're expecting our minds to be blown by
the Lord with me, and he's pretty great.
Okay. All right. And thank you, Athena, for being on here as well. Okay. And thank you, me, for being on here.
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
All right. What a blessing. Okay. So today we're going to talk about the way of love. Now, what is love? Don't hurt me. I always have to say that. What would Pastor Bob say?
He'd probably start singing, "What is love to do? Got to do, got to do with it."
Yeah. So we all have our one-track mind, but we are talking about love today, agape in Greek, the very essence of God. And so the best chapter to look into this is 1 Corinthians 13. It's sandwiched right in the middle of teaching on spiritual gifts. And we know the Corinthian church was always kind of self-asserting and showing off and maybe even showboating a little bit in front of their fellow church members. And so Paul is grounding them back in the nature of God. So I just thought I would read this. It's not that long of a chapter, but if you have your phone or you have a Bible, it'd be good for you to follow along. And the Word of God will speak through the Scripture, am I right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the Word of God, and he speaks by the Spirit through the Scripture.
Which version are we speaking?
And I'm going to read out of the ESV,
okay,
the especially spiritual version. Okay, but whatever, I think the best Bible to have is the one you're actually going to read. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there. All right, so I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll read it, and then I'll let you guys talk for once. Okay, all right, so this is an awesome section. Lord, bless our time. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. We should just close the podcast. It's pretty dang good. Okay. Well, what are some thoughts that you guys have had as you are marinating on this chapter? Or maybe some ways it challenges us?
You want to start? You want me to?
You can start.
Go for it.
One of the very first things that I felt led to dive into was, like you had already stated, this particular word love is the agape love. Mm-hmm. The Greek has four different versions of love, though, so I kind of wanted to differentiate for myself the difference between the four, right? So there's the, and I'm going to totally beat these up because I am not Greek. Yeah. Pastor Liz would be the one we would be asking to say this right now.
Yes.
So the storge love, which is the familial love, like between your brother, sister, mother, you know, that type of thing. Eros, which is the romantic love. Philos, which is your friendship love. Like I have Philos love for Ashley very much so. And actually storge love for Ashley.
But she's a sister. How can you have brotherly love for a sister?
Yeah.
Oh, deep, deep thoughts.
Familial love, right? You always got to push us, don't you? But the agape love itself is that selfless, self-denying love that actually requires action. It requires us giving up something of ourselves and to a point almost giving up our entire self to be able to walk out what it is to be that love, to do that love, to exemplify that love. Mm-hmm. It is a unifying love. It is a wholeness love. It's not a partial love. So that was one of the things I thought was really good. Paul was really trying to emphasize to them in a time where they all felt like they knew what was going on. Like you said, they were practicing all of the gifts. They were really excited about all of the gifts, and they were going out just trying to be what they thought was exemplifying the gospel and this version of love. And he kind of had to just lay them straight. But he did it out of love, which was really cool.
Excellent. Good, great thoughts on that. Yeah. What were your reflections?
When I first started looking into it, I actually got kind of stuck on that noisy symbol aspect of it, because without it, right, without love, we just become a noisy symbol. But it is interesting because if you look at Psalms, I believe it's 150, it talks about praise the Lord with a loud symbol, with, you know, like a really loud symbol. And so I was like, well, it's really interesting that this is a way we praise the Lord, right? But without love, that just becomes like an annoyance.
Yes.
And so I was like, you know, contemplating like, okay, what does this actually look like? And it is that you have to have Christ, who is love, to actually have something to praise. But anything done without him being our focus then becomes a noisy, just the noisy gong, the noisy cymbal. It's an annoyance to people. Whereas if I'm doing it with like Christ as my focus and that sacrificial love that you're talking about, it becomes praise unto him. And so that same way where praise can be a, we use symbols to praise Christ, we have to have him to actually have the idea of praising, and anything we do where he is the focus, it's no longer a, just a noisy annoyance in people's life. It's a, how am I actually serving you? How am I walking as Christ would walk? How am I living my life for someone else in a way that praises Christ?
Amen. Yeah. It's basically like the facade, right? It's like the hollow shell of the sound of the cymbal, the sound of the gong, the prophecy, the faith, the works, being burned as a martyr, all these things that, you know, he mentions. That looks really, really good on the outside, but it does, it may not even be an indicator of what the substance is. You may be doing something not out of love, but out of actually a self-projection, not a self-giving, you know? And I think that's what, you know, you see the Corinthians doing. They're you know, crowding people out in communion. They're feasting. They're not sharing. You know, in the church service, people are talking over each other, interrupting, being the showboat, you know, the center of attention. And they're projecting themselves to try to prove themselves. And they may say that that is serving God, but it's not. It's serving self, because it comes from emptiness, you know, and this is really like what he's talking about is all that stuff is nothing. It's empty. Where if you are actually coming from a fullness where you have received his agape love, then what you do is overflowing and it's spilling out. And to me, that's the challenge, is to always stay connected to his love, you know? I was just thinking, like, we can give his love out, you know, the biblical metaphor would be like a wineskin where you contain his love and then you pour it out. But a lot of times, you know, as a minister, maybe you're a minister listening, or for you guys, like, you just become a pipe. You're just like, it's, or a sieve, you know, it's just going to go right through me. Yeah, I'm getting good stuff here. Let me give it, give it, give it, give it. And we don't take a minute to be affected by it and to be intoxicated by it, you know, where he's like, if you actually have this love that abides, you know, you can do this stuff forever. So instead of just putting yourself forward and trying to have the quote of the week or the prophecy of the week or, you know, whatever it may be, which can still help somebody, you know, for your own sake, you need to be abiding in his love. So, I mean, we could go on this. Like, I don't know if I really appreciate that, you know, what you guys said.
When you were just speaking about the actions being rooted in, like, both of you guys addressed that. And this quote from David Guzik, he actually said, pride looking for glory by the appearance of love. That is when you're acting out, like you can, like you said, you could literally be doing something that you know is right. And I'm using air quotes for those of you that are listening, that is right in the eyes of the Lord, that is biblical and scriptural. And it can definitely be received. But if you're doing it out of selfish ambition and not even realizing it because that true love is not your motivating factor, then you're just putting on an appearance. You're putting on a show. Yeah. And all of these things, like they talk about in their prophetic words, all of these things that are gifts given to us on earth now are technically temporal, right? Because our time here on earth is temporal. So if we're not acting those things out and walking out those things, those beautiful things that God has given us to be able to use here with the right heart, then the outcome can end up being tainted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of it comes down to what is the motivation for my actions. And so if my motivation is, I just want to serve Christ, I want to love him, I want to pour into his body essentially. So, but the heart, like, it's interesting because it's like, oh yeah, I can look at like, oh, because I love Christ, I can do all these things for other people. But it's like, no, really it's because he loved me. Yes. Like when you're looking at those, like love is patient, love is kind. A lot of people will stop and they go, well, if Christ is love, then Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus isn't arrogant towards me. Like he's looking for my absolute best. He's not sitting there counting up all the wrongs I've done or rejoicing those, but rejoices when I do well. And that's all given to us. He's, he's the embodiment of all of those things. Yes. And when I receive it, like Pastor David was talking about, like you have to take the time to receive him and then operate from there. And so it's like, well, it's not all about what, you know, oh, I love Jesus, so I can love other people. It's like, no, Jesus loves me. And so I can love other people. And,
exactly.
Yeah. I have a question real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because you were speaking of that, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't envy. Jesus doesn't boast. Literally, I was challenged on this to put my name there.
Yeah.
So is Athena not easily angered? Is Athena not keeping records of wrongs? Like when you really start diving into that and putting your name, I actually found fault in myself when I was doing that. I literally did.
You're
I
not
was going
perfect yet at that.
No, not yet. That's crazy. I am working towards it. Name of Jesus, pray for me.
This
everybody
list,
pray for me.
Like the this list described me this morning, but the opposite.
So it you were
like, getting my kids. I'm like, oh, I'm irritable, rude, resentful. I'm angry. Yeah,
you
all
point
this.
Up I'm, everything I'm they not do patient. Every morning.
I was like, this is horrible. Yeah, so exactly what you're. I think that's a great diagnostic. What you're saying. Yeah.
I think the one that I got caught up in was is not easily provoked. Because I was looking at it, I was like, being provoked oftentimes comes from like other people's behavior. Like, and being patient does require like tolerating other people's behavior. But provoked is more than just like, oh, you're dealing with an annoyance. It's like intentional behavior. They're trying to get a reaction out of you. And I was like, I feel like there's some of these I do better in. But being provoked, like if someone's intentionally trying to get a reaction out of me, am I still patient? Am I still kind? I was like, or am I easily provoked? Like, does it get under my skin quickly?
So the word provoked, though, can be actually a positive thing as well. So you have to be looking at it under the context that they're trying to have here, right? Because God provokes us, but he provokes us in a positive way.
To good works.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not stumbling
us. Exactly. So if like you're being provoked to go help that homeless person, that's not the negative aspect of provoked that we're looking at here. I just felt like I needed to say that.
No, super good. Yeah, I think in all these things, haste is the enemy of love. You know, that you're not going to take the time to contain the blessing of God and his favor and grace and love and affection for you. If you're just rushing ahead to like, oh, I got this thing. I got to blurt it out. I got to do it. I got to... or even that, like, he's giving me strength, but I need to accomplish all these tasks and I need to, those are all very real. So it's hard to cultivate, there's pressures of the world around us and there's schedules. So it's hard to cultivate an inner peace, you know, that comes from Christ. It's not like a Zen thing. Like it actually is being given through relationship in Christ. But yeah, like that, the rushing is gonna, you know, it's gonna ruin all that. Like, I mean, you're trying to, you don't take time to register what someone says. You know, even if they are provoking you, if you were to take time and be like, okay, then you would be able to do a good response. But instead we get triggered and we're like, you know, because it's not revealing who we really are, because who we really are is a son or a daughter of God who's like Jesus. But it reveals our mindset. It reveals our current true mindset when we get, you know, people use the metaphor of if you squeeze an orange, you know, do you get plum juice out of there? You know, and it's like, well, yeah, sometimes I do. And then thanks, pastor. You know, like a lot of, I've done that before as a pastor, where you're like, look, you know, when they squeeze a Christian, Christ comes out because Christ is on the inside. I'm like, no, that's a very mature Christian. Mm-hmm. That's somebody that all the junk has already been squeezed out of them, you know, and there's no real shortcut around that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of good when you see the dross and you see the prune juice come out, you know, whatever it may be. Nobody likes prune juice, you know. It produces an effect, you know, in us. That prune juice, you know. But yeah, so we can see what's really on the inside. And then we can come to God and be like, hey, help me clear this. But if we were actually just to be not rushed and to go at God's pace, we would be able to deal with provocation, irritability, people's needs. We would be able to actually hear from the Holy Spirit and those things, but the whole world is condensing around us to drive us, you know, and even our mindset of being wanting to be a perfect person or wanting to be a law obeyer or wanting to be an achiever in American society, wanting to be efficient in our culture. That is a whip, you know, and it's going to make love a lot more difficult. And I'm only speaking from personal experience. So maybe you guys have never experienced that. You know, I don't know.
Oh, never, never.
Yeah. But, no, you're the only one on the planet, Pastor.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's, weird, again, so. It's one of those things that we are flesh. Like, God made us flesh. That's what we're fighting against every day and everything that we're doing. And this is no different. Mm-hmm. Right? When we react out of flesh, our fleshly reaction is always going to be something that is not necessarily what is on the inside of that orange, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be the skin, whatever's been superficially put, like the chemicals and the,
ooh, all the GMOs,
stuff, right?
Yeah,
yes. Exactly. Pesticides, all of the things on the external shell of that,
yeah,
which is the flesh and not necessarily the inner workings, the main thing that comprises that entire being, yes, of the orange.
Yeah, we have a Bible verse for that, right? In Romans 7, Paul says, when I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Mm. So, and it's in the flesh, which is our mindset that we used to have, right? And it's like our phantom limb that Jesus cut off, our old man, but we still feel it.
Right.
You know, it's still something we're conscious of in our gray matter. it's also the cultural customs, and it's the world pressing on us as well. Plus the devil throws a little English on that, you know, he throws some stuff in there. And so we are dealing with a real pressure that's on our flesh. But like I said, that's not the true man.
No.
Like, that's not the true woman. It's not actually the nature that God has given us. Right. And so over time, I have confidence that we are going to come into this fullness of love. So whoever's listening to that, you know, maybe you're like me and you had a bad morning or something and you're just like, you know, Captain Blood, slave driver, like, come on, everyone get out of the road. You know, why are you in this fast lane? You know, we're always like that. And you're just like, how am I not, you know, how am I going to get there? And like, it's by the Spirit, you know, and he has time to work that in you. And there's a maturing process. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it like being transformed by the renewing of your mind? It's not a, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. It is. It's happening.
Yes.
But it is a process that we're walking out. So yes, I am a born again believer, baptized. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Mm. I still fail. Like I still mess up, and the old mind still gets in the way, and you know, comes first when I decide what I'm going to say. Is the first response was just completely my flesh, right? If we could stop and go, okay, hold on, I need to renew my thinking here, change my thought processes. Yeah. What's actually out of alignment with Scripture, with the character of God, and then speak.
Yes, good.
Right? If we could stop in a conversation with somebody, especially if it's an irritating conversation, and go, do I love this person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, with a Christ-like love, not an emotional love, which we are emotional beings. I don't think you can ever just completely separate the two.
No.
But am I caught up in all of my emotions? No. And now I'm frustrated and angry and letting that drive my response? Or am I stopping and going, hold on. Despite how I actually feel right now, am I going to walk in Christ-like love? Do I actually love this individual to respond the way I should? Mm-hmm. And if we're challenging ourselves in that, we're more than likely going to actually respond in a more Christ-like manner.
Right.
But oftentimes we don't take the pause. We are, like David said, we're too hasty. We're too fast. We're in a hurry to get things done and rush until life's no fun.
So yeah. True. I think Paul actually speaks to that here at the end, where he talks about, because it's a level of maturity, right? You're growing. You have to go through experiences a lot of the times to be able to learn from those experiences. And as he says, as a child, I spoke as a child, I did childish things, and then I grew. And you have to be able to recognize. So as we're maturing in Christ, he's saying, you're going to go through these things. You're going to stumble. These things that you're going through right now, Corinth, you're learning from these things. That's why we come alongside each other out of love, to hold each other's hands, to pick each other's up when we fall, when we fall short. If I'm sitting next to Ashley or Pastor David in a conversation and I recognize that they may have acted out of flesh, later on I'm going to be like, hey, brother, hey, sister, I kind of noticed this. Is everything okay? And because that may be a call also that they need something at that moment. And it is my job to come alongside you because I love you.
I've found that more people respond poorly because they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
Very rarely is it just, I want to be malicious towards you. It's typically something's going on that's not just automatically present to us, and people respond out of that.
They're being squeezed, you know? And that's, I mean, what stands out here is it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And again, that reveals not just Christ, it reveals God the Father, you know, that he is pure love. I mean, like the essence of God is love, you know, and you know, I was thinking it through, and it's basically like when his love meets the prism of history and human interaction, it gets refracted into all these different attributes or qualities. And we're like, oh, it looks like God's mad. No, he loves you. He's coming after the self-destruction. Oh, it looks like God's patient. Yeah, that's true, but that's also a manifestation of love. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always bearing with us, and he has decided in advance not to count our tribulation or our trespasses against us, according to 2 Corinthians 5, I think 18 or 19. And so he's actually looking at us with a forbearing attitude, which means deciding in advance to forgive. You know, so like to me, it's a challenge. Like, and also God doesn't always get his own way. Mm-hmm. It's like, cause it says love does not insist on his own way.
Right.
That's the fact that there's evil in this world. That's the fact that Israel goes, hey, make us a king like all the other nations. And he goes, hey, I'm your king. And like, no, we want to be like Assyria. And he's like, all right, fine. Like Samuel, obey their voice, give him a king. He's accommodating, you know, he lets the son take his inheritance early and run away. This is his heart. He's like, all right, you go ahead and run, you know, but he stays constant, and he stays welcoming and open, you know, and he stays willing the good, you know, for us, because he's decided in advance, I'm not looking to give you what you deserve. I heard a quote that said like, ethics goes beyond like what you can do to what you should do. Mm-hmm. We're like, God can just throw us all in hell, condemn us, kill us. We couldn't really raise an objection against that because he's God and we're not, but he doesn't do that.
Right. Nope.
He actually practices, forbearance, forgiveness. Like, and he says like, you're in my image. You will see someday yourself living that out, which is really a word of hope, I think. Did you want to throw something in there? Yeah.
Now I'm blanking on.
No, it's okay.
What I was gonna say. Yeah,
I love that quote that you said, because one of the ones I use in my family and in my life all the time is, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
Right. That literally should be a motto in a lot of essence when we're walking out our Christianity. And then when you were talking about bears, believes, hopes, and endures, I love Spurgeon actually calls them. Yep. Love's four soldiers against evil.
Oh, hey.
Bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring.
Right? Love's four soldiers. That guy is
four,
so smart.
I know, right? The four soldiers against evil. Yeah. If you think about it, that means there are four soldiers as well. If we're trying to be love and act out love and exemplify it, they're ours as well. There are
the four horsemen of the apocalypse against evil.
Against evil.
Well, and then just shortly later, it says, love never fails.
Yeah.
Right? And if we actually believed that, how much more would it
change? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Love never fails.
I know we sing this a lot. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. But do we believe that? A lot of times I've sung that like flattering God. And I'm like, yeah, you know, probably not. There's probably something someone could do. They could probably lose their salvation. They could probably run away. Also, this might apply to me, but not my enemy. Mm. It might not apply to those Muslims or Hindus. You know, his love never fails. That's his essence. It never breaks. You know, even if somebody's not coming to him and not living with God, it doesn't change his outlook towards that person. That person is fully self-deceived and self-destructive. Mm-hmm. They are like, God has never changed one bit. You know, he has not disowned his sons. The sons have disowned him, you know? And so this is just such an incredible thing that it's like, what if we could understand that he's like that? Mm-hmm. His love never fails, even regarding our performance and our failures mm-hmm. and our bad thoughts. And, you know, we're not living up to whatever. He does not change, right? It says in Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. Right. Therefore, you are not consumed. Yep. You know, he's like, my love does not break. Mm-mm. It's not a conditional love.
No.
And, you know, I heard a guy, Damon Thompson, he was like, I was raised with the conditional, unconditional love of God and the unfinished, finished work of the cross, you know? And I was like, that's so true, man. It was like, yeah, God's unconditional. His love's unconditional unless you don't repent. It's like, well, he still loves you. You're excluding right. yourself. That's your fault.
Yeah.
That's not God.
Anyway, we put boundaries on yeah. Christ's love. And it's yeah. that aspect again where it's like, can I receive completely from him? Yeah. Right. And then walk in that. Because sometimes it's like, you know, I'll look at scripture and I go, I believe this is 100% truth. But do I walk it out like it's 100% truth? Or that's where the struggle comes in. And, you know, I've dealt with moments of great loss and difficult pain. And I sat there and I go, well, I still believe that God is good. Mm-hmm. Right. Despite anything that's happened, I will fall back on the belief that God is good. So despite I don't understand why he does or does not do things, does not mean that he's not good. Mm-hmm. Right. Does not mean that he doesn't love. Sometimes, though, I think we fall into like the love never fails, right? Yes, if I weigh him against my own standards or what I think he should have done, I may say that love failed. Or if I'm thinking about loving somebody, it's like, oh, yeah, I kept loving them. I've kept caring for them, but they're still not responding. They're still not coming to the Lord. They're still not doing this. And you start to feel like love does fail, right? Yeah. Well, am I actually walking out love perfectly? Mm. Maybe not.
No.
Is time up? No. And so has love actually failed? No.
No, because it abides forever.
It abides forever.
And how many times does God do that with us?
Right.
Where he continues to love us and we keep failing him in the sense of the word fail that we look at from the world. We fail him. We fall short. We do these things and he still loves us.
Yeah, like I was saying, like when God brings discipline, that's his love. Mm-hmm. When God withdraws the sense of his presence, that's not his presence. The sense of his presence, that is love, to wake you up, to draw you in, to draw you deeper. If you look into the Dark Night of the Soul teaching, you know, Juan de la Cruz, right? John of the Cross. He's like, man, God's trying to draw you deeper. That's why he withdraws the sense of his presence. You know, it's not because he hates you. Mm-hmm. The people that have had the greatest experience of God have gone through times where they thought that his love had failed, you know, and Jesus had a moment, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus completely understands that, you know, and yet his love did not fail. At the end of the cross, he goes, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Mm-hmm. You didn't abandon me, you know? So I just think it's so important to reinforce that idea that you just said of like, it could seem as if the love has failed, but that is not who God is. That's what the scripture says. We could say that it's tempting in the moment that our current emotion overrides the truth, and God bears with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure he doesn't like people like Elijah saying, you know, it's better for me to die. You don't care about me. You know, I'm sure he doesn't feel that great when Elijah says that, but he'd rather have Elijah say it to him and keep working with him than for him to actually just go give up. You know, he would much rather have that. If that makes sense.
No, it does. Mm-hmm. I hear Apostle Pat in my head because we keep using these big words, all, never. Mm. And so I hear him being like, oh, God only loves sometimes, you know, and then you're like, no,
it's, test your attention. Yeah,
exactly. Just to really emphasize and bring home the aspect of the word in all things, not some things, one thing, a couple of things. And the word never, never, right? Even never to us is finite, right? To God, it's not.
Right.
So it's just really making sure that when we're reading these and we're writing these scriptures on our heart and we're trying to walk them out, we really are recognizing exactly the magnitude of what it is trying to tell us.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, choose your God. Hmm. Like, do you believe in the God whose his love is always on? Or that sometimes it's off. You know, in Jesus, it's always on, but maybe the Father, it's not always on. you know, wrong. And, but it's like, you can choose that. You can be like, oh, depending on my performance, his love is turned off or his love is on. Right, you know, but I'm gonna experience him differently based on my orientation to him. You know, it might not go as well for me if I'm in outright rebellion against him, but it doesn't turn his love off. You know, I'm just gonna be experiencing him as wrath and discipline and refining fire rather than the warming fire, right? There's all that I could be experiencing. So,
but even if it was refining fire, still love.
It is. Really is. Yeah.
We actually, could, I read yeah, go, that. Go ahead. I think it's the Aramaic, right? The Aramaic word for the same agape in Greek means burning up, right?
Oh, does it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I believe so.
I don't study the Aramaic. That's not the original language. No.
When I was looking into this as we were getting ready for this podcast, I remember seeing that. Yeah. So the fact that you brought that up just brought that to the forefront of my mind.
Well, I mean, that's the idea in Song of Solomon. Your love is like flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Yeah. You know, it's 8:6, Song of Solomon. So that's, it's, you know, our God is a consuming fire. So sometimes that fire is very tender and warming, and sometimes it's devouring the thing that's destroying you, and it feels like it's devouring you along with it, but it's not. That's you know? You're going to stand the fire, you know, because he's faithful. That's part of love, right? Mm-hmm. He never ends. He believes all things, hopes all things. Yes. He believes all things. God doesn't believe things, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He believes everything that's true.
Right.
He believes truth.
He doesn't believe in the false you.
Mm-mm. Well, and he believes
and
in
he knows
what
the
we're
true you before you do.
Right. He believes in what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's not like he believes all things and like, oh, everything that comes out of your mouth is just 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. My children never lie to me.
Right. Yeah.
But more in the sense like he believes all things in like what we're capable of. Like
totally.
And it's the same thing with he hopes all things. Like, he sees beyond what we see. And so it's easy to go, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying right now. You're a little off in what your thinking is, but I know what you're going to become.
Yeah.
I know when this is going to break. Like, so.
Yeah, he sees deeper.
I just hear him saying, test it and subject it to the word of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. He like had to tell us. Like, you may think that you're saying something, but you need to test. You need to look back at what it is that I've already shown you and given you. And is that lining up? Is that really what we're trying to exemplify here and express to people?
Yeah.
Or showing what you like, what you do believe. Like if you had somebody that is attacking you or saying all these different things and you can't say, I believe you're hurting, right? That's not, not true. But the words they're saying may not actually line up with history, with truth. And so it's, no, I don't necessarily believe your perspective. But I do believe you are hurting and in pain.
That's good.
And that's different than I just accept all things as true.
Yeah, it's believing the best. It's giving them credit for intentions that are in their true self, you know, that's maybe hidden by pain and, you know, deception.
Right.
But it's in them to have an intention towards the good, or every human has that. You know, like if you have a guy that's like, hey, are you going to go in that burning house? You know, and he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. You wouldn't be like, oh, that guy's free and rational and he's obviously, that's who he is. He's, you know, he just wants to do that. You'd be like, no, he's insane.
Something's
like he's going to go in there, you know? And so like every human, if they actually see the right thing clearly, which we never do, is going to incline towards that. So you're like, okay, there's something that's clouding this person. And God sees that. He's the light that enlightens everyone. He shines in the darkness. He deals with our deception and our delusion and our false sense of what's good for us and what's bad for us. And our reactions that aren't grounded in truth. Mm. And he still keeps shining the light, you know.
And he knows how each and every one of us are going to respond. So, you know, we talk about different learning styles. Some people can sit in a book and learn a lot of things. Others have to be hands-on.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing applies when the Lord's letting us walk out our walk. And it's going, well, this person's more of a hand-on learner. So they're going to go make the decision, the decisions and have to walk this out. And he knows that. So he lets people walk out their choices, their free will. Others, he knows I can say something and they're going to respond.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I'm going to say something.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. As we go through this, I'm just looking at it. It says, you know, again, like it just doesn't, love does not insist on its own way. And that's the one that I struggle with. Like, you know, having been raised in certain Christian cultures and in American culture, you know, I'm the husband. I always get my way. Mm-hmm. I'm the dad. Everybody listens to me. You know, it's like, well, no. If you're going to actually lead like Jesus and shepherd, you have to submit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, if love isn't insisting on its own way, that means submission.
Right.
And if love is God, that means God submits. Mm. I'm just going to leave that there. So that is actually what we see in the incarnation, you know, that he would stoop down to the level of the cross, to the level of a slave, and he would wash feet, and that's God. Mm-hmm. That it's not just a hypostatic union. That's just his human nature. It's like, no, that's actually, there was no division in his person. That's God and man, you know? And so we have to have that same, we realize that's our own nature, and we don't have the right to just insist on our own way. Now, like, we do have to take steps and, like, guide and everything. But there's going to be plenty of times that we don't get our own way. But we have to have the long view. Like, it says love never ends, right? Actually, the perfect is going to come. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the faith that God has. That he has faith in his own ability to bring about the restoration of all things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The perfect, right? Now, let's talk about what this perfect is. All right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people say, you know, as for prophecies, they will pass away. For tongues, they will cease. For knowledge, it will pass away. Yep. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away.
Yes.
And then he goes, you know, then I'm right now I see things. I see God. I see the truth in a mirror. But then I'm going to see face to face, and I'm going to be known, or I'm going to know just as God has fully known me. Now, did that happen when we got the Bible? And that's what people say. It's like when the perfect comes, oh, that means when the Bible came, when the New Testament. So now there's no more tongues. There's no more prophecy. There's still knowledge, mm-hmm. even though it says not, there's no more knowledge. They leave that one out, you know?
Right.
But like, oh, the Bible, we have the Bible. That means that, you know, the perfect is here. And that means we shouldn't want any more spiritual gifts. He goes on, he says, covet the spiritual gifts. In the next chapter.
Very so first verse.
That theology is very, very weak. If you're a cessationist and you believe that, it's very weak. I used to believe that, but it's very weak. Mm-hmm. You know, I ceased from being a cessationist.
Well, isn't that also ammunition to a rebuttal, I should say, to the people who say that the gifts died?
Oh, yeah.
Completely. Because it literally says there until mm-hmm. perfect is here, right? Until God is here, then we're not going to. All of those things are things that he gave us to be able to utilize and walk out.
Yeah. Now. Other people say, which you know, Ashley, is that the perfect means when the new covenant came, when Jerusalem was judged, when, you know, the kingdom was inaugurated. It's mm-hmm. the perfect. So now we don't need these gifts anymore because now we only care about the heavenly kingdom. We don't care about the earth anymore. Right. And it's like, well, no. Like when that happened, we did not know God fully, even as we've been fully known.
There's that part still hasn't happened. And if it has happened, then it's going, mm-hmm.
where was this, I?
Where was I? Or if that's true, then mm-hmm. was this really worth it? Because if this is it,
no,
then I'm going,
there's more.
Yeah. I definitely believe way more than what this is right now. Now, do I believe that we can operate with mm-hmm. the kingdom here on earth? 100%. Right. Yeah. We're working towards that. We're mm-hmm. working on bringing the perfect.
Yeah.
But do I believe like we're in that completely and perfectly?
No.
I don't think so. Like if I just look at.
I mean, it's like we're in it, but it's not manifest.
Right.
We're in the new kingdom.
We are.
We have not yet fully seen the end, the telos, 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians 15, where God is all in all.
Right.
That's what this is talking about. You know? And he's like, when this happens, I'm going to see God as he really is. Right now I see a mirror image. I see Christ, the image of God. Mm-hmm. When he is revealed, the mirror is going to move away and he's going to be behind the mirror in his own appearance, mm-hmm. parousia. And then I'm going to just know who he is, which is really cool because, you know, sorry, I'm going to riff on this for a minute, but I was reading Aquinas, old time nerd, you know, pretty much the nerd of all nerds. He really expands your mind. I don't agree with everything he says, but it's probably just because I'm not smart enough, you know. But he's basically like, it's easier to know like a horse than all the parts of a horse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you're like, oh man, I don't really understand the circulatory system and the tendons and everything. But when I see a horse, I know what a horse is. I don't know how it all works together, and I don't know all the composite little parts of it, but I can know the wholeness of that thing. And so when he's revealed, we're just going to go, oh, that's how he is. Where right now we're seeing a reflection, we're seeing mirror, we're getting doctrine taught to us, we're seeing people live it out imperfectly, we're prophesying imperfectly. We're getting a sense of what the kingdom mm-hmm. is that's true. And even a really good image in Christ that it's the fullness, but it's an image. Mm-hmm. You know, but the day is going to come when that is fully manifest. And then we're just going to go, whoa, like I know him the way that he knows me.
Yeah. Okay. It's that wholeness and completeness aspect of what we're striving for, right? Mm-hmm. And even here, what he's saying that these things are part, right? They are part. They are the things that are building us up mm-hmm. to that perfection, to that wholeness, that completeness. And even earlier in Corinthians in a different chapter, he's talking about the body of Christ and all the parts. Mm-hmm. The parts have to comprise the whole.
Yes.
Good. And that is what we are working towards in this. And this is just one aspect. Love is the perfect ultimate love, that agape love, when we see it in its full manifestation, is the completeness, the wholeness, and the unification that in its entirety, in its beauty, in its glory, and something that we have no idea mm-hmm. until it's in front of us what it truly looks like. And it's going to be, I'm really excited about that time.
Yeah, the whole body will be manifest. Mm-hmm. That's super good. That's right in context in the previous chapter. He's talking about that. Really good. Yeah, any other? I mean, I have more thoughts, obviously, but, you know, do you want to add anything else on that? Or?
Well, I mean, one of the things that comes to mind when people talk about, like, the perfect coming is it talks about there'll be no more mourning, no more. I know you know the scripture. Yeah. I'm always not as good as.
Revelation 21.
And so you said they're going, okay, well, what will that be like, right? Just to walk in one of the keys of the kingdom, right? Joyfulness, joy, mm-hmm. right? To just have that nonstop, there is no more pain, no mm-hmm. more mourning. And you look at the world today and you go, okay, well, mm-hmm. where are we at?
Not there.
We're not there yet, mm-hmm. but we're working to get there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and we'll get there through love, right? Through those four soldiers, you know, and we wouldn't think that those soldiers are really going to win the victory. You're like, wait a minute, like to overcome evil, we need forbearance. I mean, shouldn't we just kill these evil people? Why are we going to bear with them? You know, believing, why would we believe the best about these villains? These Islamists, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't agree with Islamists, you know, but you know, there's something in them that God wants to redeem, right?
And God loves them.
Of course. Yeah. With an everlasting love. Oh, okay. Hopes all things. It's like, why would I hope when there's been a century of world wars and there's nuclear proliferation and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to, because we believe God can actually work it all out. He can redeem it. Amen. Endurance. I don't want to endure.
That sounds fun.
I want to restore order.
Can I just endure for right now, for today?
I want to crush people into submission. Why would I endure them when I can crush them into submission?
So you want to control people?
Well, you know, it's for their good as a Christian nation. We need to crush every competing belief system and install a theocracy. That's actually a belief system out there.
It is.
It's like, what is that going to do? We've already tried that. We've already had Christendom. We've already had the Crusades. We've already had this junk. We've already had an Israeli kingdom for thousands of years or hundreds of years. You know, King David, he was doing stuff, okay? And God said, you're a man of blood. You're not going to build my temple. Mm-hmm. My temple's built by a man of peace. And that was Yeshua, okay? So this is what will actually win the victory. Mm-hmm. But we've not tried it, you know?
Well,
I mean, some people
have. Right? Like for some reason, this is what just popped in my head, but the whole, like, love is not quick to anger. And look at Moses missed out on the promised land because he reacted out of his flesh. He got angry.
Yeah.
And he missed out on one of the promises that he could have fulfilled if he would have taken that moment, just like you said, taken that moment and thought about his reaction before he reacted.
And we'll think about how many families get destroyed because someone responds first out of emotion instead of pausing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You don't get to walk out relationship because a burst of anger, things were said and done. And it's like people dwell on that and it just separates and it continues to separate. Mm. And it's like, if we knew how to perfectly walk out love, it restores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
so good. Yeah. It says, you know, we'll know face to face. And to me, it's like seeing God face to face is why we were created. Mm-hmm. It says in the beginning was the word was with God, prostan theon, face to face with God, you know, and that's the interplay of the Trinity. And we're actually meant to join that face-to-face communion, to be one with love, you know, and that's going to happen. Mm. You know, it actually has happened because we've entered the divine life, but it's going to be fully manifested. Mm-hmm. Like we keep saying, we have to hold those intention because Jesus actually finished what he came to do. He brought us to the Father, you know, but we're learning, like we've been saying, to come into that. You know, like we've actually sat, we've ascended and sat on the throne. That's done. Ephesians 2:6, you know? But, you know, there was a guy, and I'm mentioning a lot of nerds today, you know, but he was great. This guy, Gregory of Nyssa, and he said there's actually an endless ascent into the life of the Trinity because he's incomprehensible. So it takes our finite humanity being glorified as an endless ascent into where we've already ascended.
Mm. Right. It talks about like the Holy Spirit is the only one that's searched and knows.
Yeah. He's the only one that can bring the deep things of God. Yeah. Great. Right. Great. Yeah.
I just got a vision of Jacob's ladder and going up and going down the constant, like, yeah.
Yeah. So love isn't just a tool for us to serve people better or something, you know, this is why we're created. It's the end. It's like, it's so deep. It's an ocean. You're like, you know, maybe we're seeing a little bit of it in our lives, but there's so much more, you know, and there's so much more for this world too. And so I think that's why he throws in at the end, faith, hope, and love abide, you know, because when you're loved like this, you have so much trust and you have so much hope. And they're really different flavors of love. Because, right, he said, love believes all things. Mm-hmm. That's faith. Love hopes all things, it even said. Mm-hmm. So love actually integrates all the other virtues. It brings the refracted light back into the prism and back into the unified white light, you know. So hopefully that made some sense. I don't know if it did or not.
No, it does.
But yeah, so some people are like, how can faith last forever? Because we're going to get what we're believing in. It's like, well, endless ascent. There's always going to be more of him that you have not yet experienced.
Right.
Even though you have all of them, it's never going to get boring. You know, so thank it's like, it's pretty cool. Like we can actually start entering into this love with God on a daily basis. And that's how we're going to enjoy the wine and the wineskin and how other people are going to start experiencing that.
Right.
If we just try to shortcut to what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to treat these people? I've tried to use the scripture like that for many years where it's like, man, how can I treat this person without rudeness? Stop being rude. Stop being arrogant. Stop doing all this. That's not love. And it just doesn't happen. You know,
right. I told somebody the other day where we were talking, I was like, if you can't walk out certain characteristics on how you treat people or you catch yourself on like, oh, I feel this way about them. It's like, go get yourself somewhere and get yourself right with the Lord. Yeah. Like, cause that's what it's coming down to. If you're right with the Lord and one, again, receiving his love, then it becomes easier to be like, well, I want to walk in this. You become like him. Mm-hmm. And then it's easier to go, no, I'm actually responding out of love for people.
Right.
Yes.
Whereas the second you notice that you've got this, whether it's pride or jealousy or just emotion, it's okay. I need to stop, go get my heart right with the Lord and come back to this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's also probably the level of your relationship, right? Because if you're in right relationship, then even if you do fall short, then God can come around and be like, hey, Ashley, let's go spend some time. Come to
the
chapel.
Let's go fix this.
Come hang out with me for a minute. You know what I mean?
And he wants to make us the agents. You know, as we actually get under the waterfall of his love, we start to see, it's like, man, how can I be impatient when I'm just being flooded with God's patience?
Mm-hmm.
How can I, you know, not be kind when he's being endlessly kind to me for endless ages? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I be boastful when he is taking care of everything? You know, it's like all this stuff is like, once we are so full and so secure, when we're perfected in love, it says that we're not hating our brother. We're loving our brother. And I think we can be perfected in love and not yet fully consummated in love. You know, I do believe that. And God wants to release us to love people and make it real to them. You know, hopefully the way somebody has made it real to us, but if not a flesh and blood human, the Holy Spirit can always make it real to you.
Yeah.
I believe that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. He's the spirit of sonship that cries out Abba Father within us, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We understand that. We can understand it intellectually, but I would just encourage anybody listening to just ask the Holy Spirit, make this real to me, shed the love of God in my heart, because he can only do that supernaturally. You can't learn your way into it. Mm-mm. You know, I've tried to do that, you know, but even, you know, learning only goes so far. Knowledge is partial, right? Like what we're teaching you is only a partial experience. Only the Holy Spirit can bring a fullness of God's love into your conscious experience as the reality of your life, you know? And if we aren't willing to take the things we learn in knowledge to the foot of the altar in prayer, it doesn't become real, you know? And yeah, it'll be tested and it'll be refined and, you know, in our lives, but we totally depend on the Holy Spirit to make this real to us. Mm-hmm. There's no way I can tell you how to do that. It's like everybody has to come and figure out your relationship with God, where he can speak to you and you can figure out how to receive love that for whatever reason you don't want to receive, mm-hmm. that you think maybe I'm unworthy or maybe God isn't really like that or whatever it may be, you know, or, you know, whatever holds you back. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you through that, and he can pour God's love into your heart.
The glue that binds it all together.
Yeah. Amen. Colossians 3. Does anybody want to throw in a last thought here before we close?
My last thought is still comes back down to that place of love never fails. Mm-hmm. If an individual receives this for themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like no wrong that I've ever done is going to separate me from the love of Christ, mm-hmm. right? It can change me. And then it changes your perspective on how you work with people. If I absolutely believe that love never fails, my pursuit to bring people to Christ, to bring them to the fullness of who they can be and in the Lord doesn't get hindered. It's like, well, no, I can see that you're struggling now, but I know that love never fails.
Yes.
Okay. I can see you're addicted to drugs now, but love never fails.
Yes.
I can see you're dealing with depression, but love never fails. Mm-hmm. Right. I can see you come from brokenness, but love never fails. Yes.
That's good.
Right. And so then there's this pursuit of, I'm not going to give up on you, right? I believe all things, hope all things, because love never fails. So if I fall back onto that and just believe it with all of who I am, it not only affects me because I'm receiving it, but it affects how I represent Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah.
Never. All yeah. and never.
I mean, that doesn't mean that, right? It's like, anyways, but yeah. Did you have a last thought, Athena? Are you good? Or?
I didn't just... making sure that you're regrounding yourself in that love so that you can differentiate the love. I think that's the key in our walk out and trying to come to that fullness, that wholeness and that completeness.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, just the last thing I want to say is that because God loves me and I have freely given love, I don't have to manipulate another person into loving me.
Mm.
You know, and I can just actually love them.
That's good.
And not need anything in return. And yet if I don't know how to experience love from God and from his body, which is also truly God, you know, the church on the earth filled with the Holy Spirit, if I don't know how to receive love, I always have to get it from someone else. Mm-hmm. I have to show off or I have to manipulate or I have to intimidate to get somebody to have a certain response, you know, to build me up where, you know, love edifies, mm-hmm. love builds up. You know, and praying in tongues, next chapter.
And it lays itself down for you. It is selfless. It doesn't control.
Exactly. You know, so I think it's so important that it's like, if you see that in your life of like, oh, I'm boasting, I'm being rude. It's like, well, you're probably trying to get some sort of recognition to feel loved, you know? And that seems like psychobabble kind of, but you know, to me, it's like, it's so real. It's like, we can look in our lives and see that. And so if we want to be free, God makes us free. If we want to be recognized, he makes us recognized. If we want to be believed in and hoped in and approved, that's what God does. Yeah. You know, and he will never be any different. And if we can learn to sit down in that and rest, well, then, man, I should have more resources to give to others. Now, don't hate yourself if that doesn't happen right away. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, be in relationship with God for him to convince you of this. It's like the Spirit convinces of sin. To me, that's really easy for him to convince me that I'm a sinner, but not to convince me that I'm righteous, that I am as I should be, you know, that I am loved. We need to yield to that just as much as the conviction of sin, you know, the conviction of righteousness and love. So anyway, as you can see, there's a lot more to be said about love since it binds everything together in perfect harmony and it's the very essence of God, you know, but hopefully this is just like kind of a primer for me, but for everybody listening to go to the Holy Spirit and to go to others and just be like, hey, look, I want to receive something. I have the humility to receive and therefore I have the humility to give, you know, and just like God does. So yeah, I mean, it's a great, great thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to pray us out?
Sure.
All right.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your agape love. We thank you for the ability to be able to go out and share agape love with others. Be agape love, Lord. It is such a beautiful thing. And I just ask that you go before every person that's listening and watching right now, God, and just continue to strengthen them up in the person that they are, remind them and allow them to be able to take the ability of that righteousness, that identity of who they are, Lord, to walk out the fullness and become what they need to be, to be able to go towards that striving of wholeness and completeness and unification that you want for us, God, so that we can one day come to that time that you are going to come back and we will be perfect, see perfect, and experience perfect, God. We thank you and praise you for you just walking along with us in this life and giving us the truth, the book, Lord, the Bible, the sword, the two-edged sword, God. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for these abilities to be able to come together and speak your word, Lord, and be able to speak your heart and just talk these things through in fellowship, Lord. Thank you for every person that is listening, every person that is watching, Lord. And I ask that you just continue to bless them. Bless everyone at this table and the ones of our team that are traveling and not here right now, Lord. Just keep them safe as they travel home. Surround them with your love. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, you should sign up for Spirit School of Ministry next year.
Open.
Yes. Registration's open, spiritschoolofministry.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Take care. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.